But you have your Bibles. Let's be encouraged by the Word of God. And the title of tonight's message, Don't Settle for Walking Trees. Don't Settle for Walking Trees. Of course, if you kind of just take from the title there, I'm referring to that gentleman, that blind gentleman that was healed, kind of, at first. In fact, it's one of the, I think, maybe the only account in Scripture where Jesus Christ healed partially and then completely, kind of a first half, second half, or a kind of a two-parter thing. But it's a sermon on faith and prayer. And faith and prayer do go hand in hand. One correlates with the other, right? You know, show me someone who prays without ceasing all the time, and I'll show you someone with lots and lots of faith. Amen. It goes together. And then tonight we'll look at this one instance that this blind gentleman was healed, which is rather unique in that sense of kind of a part one, part two, a partial healing, and then a complete healing. Now, of course, we know the story if you're familiar with it. But in the first healing, this blind man is healed somewhat, and he can kind of see, people, but they look like trees. Of course, he knows they're people, but they look like trees walking around. So still very blurry vision. Could see a little bit, but not really. But after that, Jesus heals him completely the second time, and then he sees everything clear. And so that's a blessing. But of course, the takeaway, the application, the lesson for you and I, don't settle for walking trees. And it's a blessing. Praise God when he answers prayer. Praise God for that. But may God's prayers that he answers, even partial ones, encourage us to keep on praying. Don't settle and say, no, I'm good now. That's enough, Lord. That's enough of your power in my life. I think I'm good. Just living a life where people are like walking trees. That's not how we want to do it. And so don't settle for that. So let's go to Mark chapter 8. Let's be encouraged by the scriptures. Mark chapter 8 with me, my friends. And this is the account of Jesus healing this blind gentleman. And again, in two parts. But let's go to Mark chapter 8. Let's go to verse 22. We'll start there. Mark chapter 8. And then verse 22, and I believe this is unique to the gospel account here in Mark. And so Mark chapter 8, let's go to verse 22. And it says here, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house again even tonight. And Father, we thank you for thy great salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and the power of prayer. Help us, Lord, to exercise this privilege that we will be praying often. Help us to be found faithful, and to be found faithful is to be found praying. Help us to be praying without ceasing. Help us even tonight, Father, as we come before thy throne, Lord, to prime our hearts from the scriptures, that we will ask according to faith. Oh, Father, we know that you bless and you empower according to our faith. And so help us to have faith and claim fully your word. Help us to pray intercessory for others, Lord. What a wonderful testimony with this blind man and his friends that brought him to Jesus. And so, Father, we lift up those who are needy tonight, Lord. Lift up again Sister Kathy. Be with her, strengthen her, Father, and thank you for her faithfulness. We do pray for the saints. Bless one another, Lord. We pray that your will be done. Help us, Lord, to love and prefer one another over ourselves. And may the Lord Jesus Christ have preeminence in all that is said and done. We thank you, Father, so much for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. What a joy. And before I kind of dive too much into this, first, I want to kind of take a step back and kind of remember that when Jesus healed, the accounts of him healing in the New Testament, when Jesus healed, especially those that sought him for healing, he would typically heal them according to their faith, where their faith was at, okay? And so understand that faith is, number one, absolutely necessary to see the power of God work in your life, in my life. And we've got to get our own faith, okay? So faith, my level of faith, your degree of faith will directly correlate to the power of God working in your life. And here's a good example. Just go back to chapter 6. We're in Mark 8. Just go back to chapter 6 with me here. Jesus is coming to his hometown, back in Nazareth in the region of Galilee. But let's go back to Mark chapter 6. Again, faith is absolutely necessary to see the power of God work in our life. And look at this. Verse 1 says, "And he went out from hence and came into his own country." So his hometown, okay, where he grew up. "And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching." And so a very heartbreaking moment here when Jesus comes back to his hometown where he grew up. And in fact, I think this goes hand in hand with the account in Luke, in Luke, where Jesus, chapter 4, where he professes himself to be the Messiah. He says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in thy ears. I'm the Messiah." He proclaims to be the Messiah. And everyone is up in arms, and everyone says, "Hey, wait, did Jesus just say that he's the Messiah? Did I hear him right? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this just Joseph's boy? He just lives down the street from where I grew up, and I used to go there, and he would wait on me, you know, and I would talk to his dad, and he'd be playing in the backyard, and my son would play with him, you know, and this is just Jesus, and his brothers are here. We know his sisters. This is not the Messiah. No way." And then they were offended. In fact, not just offended here. I mean, they were really angry. The account in Luke, when Jesus proclaims that he's the Messiah, they got so angry at him. Now, these are people that should have known him best. But of course, it's that the fact that they didn't know him, that he's without honor. A prophet is without honor in his own country. And they got so upset. If you remember in Luke chapter 4, they pushed him out of town. You know, they pushed him up the hillside, you know, and they were going to thrust him down off the cliff. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, they were so angry and so offended that one of their own would have in their mind audacity and the gall to say that he's the Son of God. And so they hated what he was saying. So sad. And because of their unbelief, it says in verse 5 or verse 6, Jesus marveled. Like he marveled at a centurion's faith, here he marvels at their unbelief. And so it's so heartbreaking. But lack of faith in this community, in his hometown, of course, he only did heal a few sick. As opposed to Capernaum, which of course there's different accounts there. But when he was in Capernaum, the whole city shows up. You know, this is what the Bible says. And Jesus healed, the Bible says, many. In fact, he healed so many, he couldn't heal all of them. He had to come back the next time and more showed up. And he was constantly on a healing spree because they had all that faith in him. Whereas here in his hometown, when they should have known better, sadly they rejected him. And when there's no faith, there's no power of God. And so a direct correlation, our degree of faith with how much power of God is in our life. Jesus works. His power works through us and in us and with us directly equal to our proportion of faith. When Jesus heals those two blind men, let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, in fact, Jesus spells it out here for us. Matthew chapter 9, let's go to verse 28. When he heals these two blind men, Matthew 9, and then verse 28 says, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him." Of course, I always admire just how these blind, they stumble, but nothing's going to hold them back, right? And so they hook up by crook. Whether they trip over someone else or bump their shins against the curb. I mean, they're going after Jesus. Nothing's going to stop them. And so they make their way in, stumbling in. But, of course, they're motivated by their faith. Faith will do things that help us overcome fear. Amen. And so they're going anyway to Jesus. "And the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." Not according to their works. It's according to their faith, right? "Be it unto you." He healed them according to their faith. Well, Remember that leper. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And so here's an account again. And he says this towards the end to the one that was grateful. But let's go to Luke chapter 17 and then verse 17. And so Luke 17, 17. And here the scripture says, "And Jesus answering said, was there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith," again, not works, "thy faith hath made thee whole." What about that woman who had that blood issue for 12 years, spent all that she had, right? And she was not even better, she was worse. Now she's poor too, on top of that. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Again, wherever these folks that were seeking healing from God, Jesus met them where their faith was at. And so if they believed Jesus could heal them, he did heal them. And then, in fact, this woman, not to be outdone, her faith is so strong, she's like, "I don't even need Jesus to touch me. I'll just touch his garment." And in fact, it was so amazing because, I'm not going to, for sake of time, I'm not going to go through the whole passage. But remember, Jesus was being thronged by everyone. And in fact, this was another message I preached before. Many throng, but few touch. And then Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Right? It was one of those, I like to call it drive-by healing. Jesus wasn't planning on healing her. And there was a crowd, and she's like, "If I could just get in there, it's almost like a Black Friday, and if I could just touch his garment, then I would be healed." And she touched it, got it, oh, and she was healed. And then Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And of course, the disciples would, "Who touched you? Who's not touching you? Everyone's powling you." But of course, Jesus was referring to faith, because she was the one out of many who touched Jesus by faith, and he responds to faith. God responds to faith. But sure enough, let's go to Luke chapter 8, and then verse 48. Luke chapter 8 and then verse 48. And so now she comes forward. She knows she's found out. And she feels really bad about it because she didn't, like, ask Jesus permission to be healed. I mean, she just touched him from behind. And not even him, no, like hand, not even skin to skin, but just his garment, the hem of his garment. And so now and then Jesus comforts her. He says, "And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace," right? So again, faith is what works the power of God in us. And then, not to say my favorite example, but the centurion in Luke chapter 7. So back with me just one chapter, Luke chapter 7. And then not to be outdone, the centurion, in fact, he has so much faith, Jesus doesn't even need to go into his home. He's not even worthy to house and host Jesus. He doesn't even need to touch Jesus' garment. He just say, "Well, you know what, Lord, you're the Lord of all creation. Just will it and say it, it'll happen," right? And then Jesus marveled at that. So let's go to Luke 7 and then verse 7. "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed." The idea is, as long as it's God's will and Jesus wills it, he wants it, even though it's at a distance, no touching needed, it would happen. And sure enough, look at verse 9. "And Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." All these examples just to remind us that wherever anyone desired healing from the Lord, he healed them and worked mightily in them according to their faith. When they believed, "Oh, just touch the garment, we'll be fine," that worked. When they believed, "Oh, in fact, don't even need to come under my roof, I'm not worthy, just will it, Lord. Just think it. Just say it." That was sufficient, and God worked mightily there. And so it's, you know, full faith, if you want to think of that, full healing. Some faith, some healing. No faith, no healing, okay, from that standpoint. And again, the healing, not necessarily healing, but again, just God working in our life, okay? It might not be healing in our case. We might be praying for something else. But the power of God in our life is directly related and correlated to our degree of faith. And so if I am not seeing the full power of God in my life, it's not God lacking power, it's me lacking faith. I mean, I just want to put it out there. We see the examples where they were at their faith, that was where, boom, the miracle happened. Faith was up here, miracles up here. Faith was down here, miracles down here. When there was no faith, like in Nazareth, well, just a few people who had a little bit of faith, he healed just a few folk, and that was it. And so it's not the lack of God's power. Oftentimes, the lack of my faith. And so following this pattern, we go back to Mark chapter 8. So this blind man, it really appears in this case here that the blind man was, I think, initially only partially healed when he first met the Lord. Perhaps that was where his faith was at. His faith was kind of here, not here. So he got healed here, not here. But let's go back to Mark chapter 8 and kind of observe what the scripture tells us. So Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Let's go to verse 22 where we started. And notice what the Bible says here. And he, that's Jesus, cometh to Bethsaida. And they. Now this is interesting. The scripture specifically says they. This would be his friends, his buddies. Okay, and it's a blessing to have friends, amen. But it was not the blind man per se, it was his friends that brought him or bring a blind man onto him. And this same group of people, the friends, and besought him to touch him. And so you have this blind man. You don't quite know where his faith is at. But his friends, they seem to have together. You know, they say, oh, hey, the Lord is here. Now's your chance to get healed. We got to bring you to see Jesus. And they bring him to see Jesus. And they lead him there. And they besought, meaning to plead. They beg. And so the idea is, if I have a friend who's blind and us are seeing, you know, we bring our blind friend here with us and say, Lord, please touch him. Please touch him. The context is that they have faith that if Jesus just touch him, how many times? Once. Just one touch. That's the context of verse 22. If you just touch my friend, you'll heal him. He'll be healed from his blindness. Please touch my friend. Now, what's pretty amazing is it doesn't tell us a whole lot of the blind man's faith, just his friends in this context. And so perhaps the blind man was a little bit more skeptical. Perhaps he was discouraged. I can see, by the way, if I can just fess up here, if I was blind, I'll be discouraged. I'm just saying, okay? If I was blind, if I was hurting, if I was sick or some kind of a chronic thing, I can see myself getting discouraged. And so perhaps the friends, they were excited. Hey, now's the time to get healed. But perhaps the blind man his faith wasn't quite where the friends' faith were. Maybe he's discouraged, which in many ways, this blind man can really picture the average Christian, you know, where we believe kind of, but maybe not totally, right? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. It's good to have friends. Praise God for friends. But we still struggle on the inside, you know, still have hardships. I still have doubts. I still have discouragements. I still have things that I wrestle with. And so I can see myself pictured by this blind man. Well, what happens? And so, which, by the way, at the end of the day, everyone needs their own faith. Absolutely. We need our own faith. But intercessory prayer is such a blessing. And intercessory prayer does make a difference. If you want to think of the friends bringing this blind man to Jesus, certainly we can and we should pray for others. At the end of the day, they need to have their own faith. I get that. But as intercessory prayer warriors, we can certainly pray for someone like the friends did. And that, you know, the blind man still needs to trust Jesus on his own. He still needs to have his own faith. But we can certainly bring them all the way up to the Lord. We can bring them right there, right to the Lord. And so, all right, blind friend, he's right in front of you. Jesus is right there, okay? And we can do that, okay? So what happens next? So verse 23, now, there's a lot happening in just this one verse. So verse 23, we'll unpackage it. It says, and he took, that's Jesus, and he took the blind man by the hand. Jesus did. And now this is pretty amazing. And Jesus led him out of the town. This part is a beautiful picture where the friends, first is the friends that bring their blind friend. And they can only do so much. They can only do so much. They can't heal their friend. They can't save their friend. But they can bring him to Jesus. Okay? And then Jesus leads him out of town. Okay, the idea is, you know, Jesus probably wanted to keep a low profile. It goes hand in hand with verse 26. Don't tell anyone. So he wanted to keep a low profile. He didn't want the fanfare from it. So he goes out of town. What's pretty amazing is Jesus doesn't tell the friends to not here. Let's rendezvous outside of town. Okay, bring your friend. I'll meet your friend. No, he doesn't tell the friends to bring the blind friend out of town. Jesus takes him by the hand. Now this is pretty amazing because regardless of where this blind man was as far as faith before, when someone takes you by the hand and leads you out of town, it's not just a short distance. It does require some faith to follow, is all I'm saying. If I was blindfolded, and here's where maybe it helps to know your friends, okay? If my friends, if we were back in high school or college, typically, if you were blindfolded, typically you don't want to go where your friends would pull you, because they're gonna prank you. Okay, you're gonna go somewhere you shouldn't go. They're gonna make you walk into a pole. Okay, and what I'm saying is, if you can't see, it takes some faith, maybe not monumental faith, but it takes some faith to be led blind. You're not gonna. I mean, just to be led out of town. Okay, and so I want us to understand this. Jesus doesn't pawn this guy off or keep him back to his friends and say, "Hey, meet me out there." He takes him personally. And this blind man, this is his first encounter with Jesus. I mean, he could have like, well, who are you? You know, he could have not followed, is what I'm saying. Jesus wants to pull him, but it's his choice to go along, to be led by the Lord. The friends, and this works for parents with children. We can't save our kids, but we can lead them all the way up to Jesus. And then Jesus will take them by the hand and, Lord, and please follow Jesus. Please follow him out of town, okay? And the town, Jesus wanted to keep a lower profile. We can think of town as the less busyness in our life, maybe the less worldliness, you know, more closely with Jesus, to time out from ourselves, to time out from the world and get alone with God, okay? So this is a very powerful illustration, because as intercessory prayer warriors, we can only do so much. At the end of the day, they need to connect with the Lord personally. But Jesus, it's a personal relationship. He extends his hand, takes the blind man by the hand, so hand to hand, and led him out of town. And to some degree, he goes along. He goes with, okay? And so he's no longer in the comfort of his buddies that he knows and trusts. Now he is in the hands, first time encounter with Jesus of Nazareth, okay? So he's following Jesus, so I give him credit. There's some faith involved, right? Okay, now he makes it out of town, and now he doesn't see this, which might be a good thing, okay? But the idea is when we follow the Lord, he humbles us. He humbles us. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him. It's a wonderful thing here. And again, if you read the context from in verse 25, when it references Jesus putting his hands on his eyes again. And so when Jesus puts his hands on him here in verse 23, it's not just on his shoulder, you know, hey, buddy, how you... No, it's on his eyes. Jesus spit on his eyes and then, you know, somehow, you know, touched his eyes, right? And so covered his eyes and asked him if he saw aught. Now, the spiritual application for us, when we follow the Lord, when he leads us, he humbles us. And literally, this you'll be hard-pressed to find another application here to truly live by faith, not by sight. I mean, Jesus is literally, you know, if we were the blind man, again, the blind man pictures the average Christian, okay? Good to have friends that pray for you, but at the end of the day, you need your own faith with the Lord. We need to follow the Lord. We need to humble ourselves and trust him. And you know, and when he literally puts his hands on my eyes, and well, now I really can't see, Lord. I can't see a thing. And Jesus goes, I know, that's the whole point. Just look at me. Look up and see me. Okay, so don't look at the world. He takes us away from the world. Spend time with him in prayer, in humbleness, in following him, in meekness. What happens? Our prayers start getting answered. This is awesome. Okay, so he asked him if he saw aught. Well, verse 24, what happened? So he's very honest. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And so, hey, he can see. He's not, for the first time, I guess, in his life, it's not just pitch black if he's blind, right? He actually sees some blurry images. He knows it's people, his friends, okay? But they look like they just look like trees, okay? So no detail. The lens cap is still on, okay? So he can't quite see, but he can see some commotion, some movement. Ever get a prayer partially answered? Okay, that's still a blessing. Okay, and maybe I have a thorn in my side, you know, and I'm still in pain, but it's not as painful, you know. Or maybe there's a conflict and I want it resolved. Lord, please resolve this, reconcile this, and it's not resolved, but at least it's better, you know. Or at least when I'm praying for something. I know I'm not where I want to be, but praise God, I'm not where I was. You know, and so sometimes it could be kind of a partial prayer. And in my life, as in you can take that in your life and your application of the trees walking, you can apply that as a partial answer to prayer. You know, and don't settle for that. There's two ways when God answers our prayers partially. There are two ways that we can respond. Well, I can kind of sum it up this way. Are you more of a cup half full kind of a guy, person, or more of a cup half empty? And so, when the Lord answers prayer, am I quick to murmur about the half empty part where, oh, come on, Lord, I really wanted that up to here. You only gave me half. Or when the Lord answers prayer, am I thankful for the half that we got? And so, case in point, you know, we had a water leak, in Ellie's ceiling that we finally found out it was leaking. We had the plumber come out today. And the moment of truth, of course, is when he opens it up and like, well, Lord, I pray that it won't be a big moldy infestation. And there was some mold, but it wasn't, I don't believe it's too much. I mean, so it's manageable. And I praise God for it. Praise God for it. When things happen and when whether it's an accident and now we're out of car, half full or half empty, it's a blessing. You're still alive. Praise God. I'm just saying, he sees men as trees walking. There's two ways he can respond to this. He can go, ah, oh, bah humbug. What kind of miracle is this? You know, and then just that's all it is. And then the rest of his life, he's not blind, okay? But all he sees are trees walking. That's as good as it gets. Or he can take it as a blessing from God and then start having true faith, right? Okay, so don't let the partial blessings discourage us. Let it encourage us. Always be thankful. Count your blessings. Answered prayers beget more answered prayers because it should, by God's grace, build our faith. But beware, the reverse is also true. Unanswered prayers is the spawning ground of unbelief, right? And so prayers aren't getting answered because I don't have the proper attitude of prayer to begin with. Then I quit praying altogether. And now I'm really not going to get my prayers answered because I'm not even praying. And don't be discouraged. Don't walk away from the Lord. Don't give up and throw in the towel on prayer. Imagine again the blind man if he just walked away right here on the cusp of getting healed completely. Now, it's also worth noting the blind man's honesty. It's more of a side note, but I appreciate him being honest. It's kind of like being honest with the physician. The physician asks, you know, hey, can you see? Now, of course, the Lord knows, okay, but do we want to confess it? And too often times, when the Lord asks me, how am I doing? And even though I might be seeing people as trees walking, sometimes I might be inclined to say, no, I'm good, Lord. I'm good. Just let me do my own thing. Don't settle for trees walking. See it clearly. Don't settle for where we are at in our prayer life. When the Lord says, what do you see? He says, well, I see kind of, but Lord, I want to see everything. Lord, I need you then. I still need you now. And look at verse 25. Verse 25 and 26 go together. But look at verse 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, as he did the first time, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. This is amazing. Now, the context of verse 26 kind of reveals what is going through this man's heart. And so let's go to verse 26. And he sent him away to his house, saying, and Jesus is kind of going to burst his bubble here, but it does reveal what this man was intending in his heart, because he says, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And so the idea is, Jesus knows, after he healed this blind man, he's like, oh, this is awesome. Jesus of Nazareth, he's the Messiah. He healed me. And Jesus, oh, just pipe it down. Okay, don't. But what I'm saying is, I believe he believed. That's why he got healed. Okay, that we've seen that correlation in all the instances when Jesus would heal. He met them according to their faith. where their faith is at is directly related to the power of God in our life. When I live by faith, not sight, we see everything clearly. Praise the Lord. And sometimes I do need to get my eyes covered. Sometimes I see things go bad. Economy's bad. Stock market's bad. Everything's bad. War here, famine here. This happening, that happening. And Jesus just times me out and just covers my eyes so I don't see it. So I'm forced to just look up and trust Him. Just trust the Lord. Don't settle for trees walking. Desire to see things, all things, clearly. What a blessing. Always pray. Pray, pray. We'll do that tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father. What a blessing, Lord, again, as we consider this story. Lord, what a encouragement, Lord, that we can always pray to You and praise You, Lord. And Father, we ask that Your will be done. I thank You, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, so patient, Lord, and that He takes us by the hand and leads us to the promised land. But even then, right now, Father, that You take us out of the world to be more alone time with You, Father. And that's what we need. We need, it might not be where my flesh wants to go, but it's what my spirit needs. Less town, less world, and more You. And so, Father, I pray that as You reach for our hand, that I don't resist, that I trust You, and let You lead us, lead me. And that we just follow You, Father. Cover our eyes, Father. Sometimes I'm too prone to live by sight. I want to live by faith. And so, Father, even now, we're so thankful for the prayers that You've given us. Even our partial, quote-unquote, partial prayers that are answered. Lord, we just thank You for it. We praise You for it, Father, that it all comes from You. Help us to be always looking at the glass half full, Lord, and that we desire more of You, more of You, more of You. And so, Father, bless this prayer time. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be given the preeminence in all that is said and done. And we thank You for how good You are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.